A meal of celebration, communion, ought to be what we celebrate, what we have in Jesus. And that's the topic of this morning. What do you think about when you think of celebration? Those are pretty quiet. Want to try it again? Hard. Right, sometimes we celebrate, we got those little things, meat and the little crackers, or clackers, I guess they're called, those things you spin and they go rap, rap, rap and make a bunch of noise. And sometimes celebration is just limited to that, some crazy noises, a bunch of whatever. A picture coming up on screen here in a minute, a football player, I don't even know why, but he's chucking a whole thing of popcorn right in his own face. We do some crazy things when the emotions are gone and something goes right, and we celebrate and there's silliness. Like, we've probably all been watching some sporting event where they do some sort of little dance in the end zone, or I remember there was a team of soccer players, and I don't even know what they were doing, but the one guy pretended to be fishing and he's reeling in, and the other guy's going along on his stomach on the ground, and they're just craziness sometimes, how we celebrate. Sometimes a celebration has happened too early. Saw one video, I think it was a high school playing, might have been university, I think it was a high school, they're playing basketball. And it comes down right to the last minutes, and their team goes down there, shoots, gets a basket. They're winning by 1 point, and there's 3 seconds left. They run back down their end. They start hugging each other. They're celebrating. Their team comes off the bench early. They're celebrating. The other team, with their 3 seconds, comes out, passes it to this one guy, lobs it through the air. Blam, gets a basket. This team's still celebrating. They don't even know what's going on. They quit watching their own game that they were a part of. And they celebrated way too early. Sometimes celebration is in a bracket where we think it's about pride. There was a goalkeeper in soccer, international meet, and he makes a save, and then he's parading around like a peacock. He's just pounding his chest. He's, yeah, look at that, because it was a penalty kick. But there was a spin on the ball, and while he's over here parading around, looking to the audience, the ball's rolling, and it went across the line, and they did score. But he wasn't even watching anymore. And we sometimes think celebration fits in that category of we shouldn't celebrate too much because it's about pride. It's about look at me and what I've done. At least in the church, we think that at times. It's over-exuberance. It's something that has no place. As we move into this next section of Nehemiah here, we've only got one more week. Next week it'll be all over. Return and rebuild series. It's return to God. We've done that through communion here, remembering who He really is and rebuilding a worshiping community. Someone's focused on Him. As I said, they had an outline. There's construction happens in first 6 chapters of Nehemiah, and then there's a spiritual renewal 8 to 10, and then there's this organizing as a spiritual community in 11 to 13, and this third part is about celebrating is a good and necessary thing when we celebrate appropriately. We need to have celebrations. I mentioned last week a 50th anniversary. What a God-honoring celebration. We celebrate weddings. I remember one wedding we did where, she had come out of a life of horrible abuse and had got into drugs and all sorts of stuff and armed robbery because she needed to pay for her drugs somehow or get them. And God had redeemed her out of that lifestyle and had redeemed him in all sorts of different ways. I tell you, that was an incredible, it's probably to date the most celebrating wedding I've ever been to, and the most God-honoring. We really celebrated them coming together as one. And it was beautiful. There's things to celebrate when we do it appropriately. Sometimes we need to celebrate in the journey. It's not just about at the end. I'm a soccer, whatever, helper. Get called coach once in a while, but I'm avoiding the name. Diane coaches my one son's team, and there's two of us dads that are helping out. And so you try and teach this skill and that skill and how to think about the game and whatever else. I think of one play during one of our games where a goalie made a save. Ha! Got to celebrate it. Did something good, dove right on it, made a good save. Further, wow, instead of kicking it straight out front where the other team might get a goal right away, kicked it off to the side. Yes! More celebration. And then the person that received the ball passed it. They didn't just try and do it all themselves. They passed it. Yay! They passed it up the side. They passed it around one of the other team players. And then did a good deke. And yeah, good play around another player. They passed it across the field. And they kept possession. They worked hard to keep possession. A few of them working together. Then they passed it across in front of their net. And bam! Goal! I can't do it like those announcers. Goal! But it's not just about the goal. There's all sorts of things to celebrate along the way. I think sometimes we got to get better at celebrating in the journey. That woman I mentioned that we did their wedding for several years ago, coming out of addiction to drugs and everything, whatever else, there's lots of things to celebrate in the journey. And it's not just about the end goal. Sometimes that's what we say in church, right? This is what I used to struggle with and whatever else. But it's the journey. And there's pieces. Wow, you've learned that. But in the midst of it, it's recognizing it's not me. It's what God has done. And as the people meet together here in Nehemiah, this was no small celebration that they had here. This wasn't quiet and polite. This was huge. Huge choirs up on top of a 9-foot wall going around the city. And one went this way around, one went that way around. And there's thousands, tens of thousands of people singing to where all their enemies around them. They went, what's going on over there? They made a huge ruckus. It was a huge celebration. And they celebrated and dedicated the wall that they had built. Dedication is often connected to celebration. They dedicated the wall to God. And in celebrating it, they recognized this is something God has done. This is bigger than us. We couldn't do it on our own. He has done it. The completion of the wall of Jerusalem was a cause for time of dedication and celebration. Music filled the air. And there was great joy. Sometimes we can be a pretty somber, joyless looking crew in the church. And there was great joy. God calls us to celebrate. And He does amazing things. We need to celebrate. The law even commands thankfulness and rejoicing. Not sure if we've emphasized that enough. All sorts of passages. Of all that's been done and all that's been fulfilled, we have a lot to celebrate. And they go not celebrating in Nehemiah here. It's with full energy. They are celebrating. The text doesn't tell us how long after the completion of the building of the wall, but it doesn't seem like there's much time in there. Nehemiah did not separate the secular, the building of the wall, from the sacred worship. They're connected. I think we've artificially disconnected those. Our jobs during the week aren't less sacred than what we do on the weekend in meeting here. It's all an act of worship to God, and we can celebrate what God is doing in all of life. Nehemiah doesn't separate it, nor should we. It was natural and appropriate to call a special worship service at the completion of the wall building project that God had guided, He had protected, and He had brought it to completion. And there's things that we should celebrate as well. You know, I think back to when I was working in building water systems, where I would be installing a water system and I'd be aware of the person I was with, and whether there was sadness or grief or whatever I was picking up from that person, I wanted to go sit with that person and hear their story. And I knew my boss well. I would just mentally check out, time out, and take my own time during the day and meet with that person and minister there, connect with them. And not that one was more important than the other. Both needed to be done. But that was part of my discerning that God was calling me to full-time ministry. That I wanted to spend my time over here. My boss was the other way around. He's a follower of Jesus, and he wants to serve God well. And whatever he does is an act of worship. But if there's a line there and I err on this side, I'd rather connect with the person and help them carry their burden. He was just on the other side. Not that he was uncaring, but he wanted to solve their water issues and glorify God by building them an excellent water system. And so he still does that to this day. He has his own company and he's doing very well at it. And can we both glorify God and we don't separate the secular, so-called, from the sacred? They're both. And we celebrate, and the celebration brings them both together. And they dedicate this wall, which was for protection. But it's an act of worship. And it's worshiping God as He is and what He has done. It was an incredibly impressive celebration. And we need to find ways to unite, or come together around things that are appropriate and necessary to celebrate, where we glorify God together. Special celebrations help a believing community, and they're a testimony to a watching world. And they do that powerfully here in Nehemiah. They celebrate like crazy. Look at the Psalms. They're full of it, of this kind of language, of celebrating, where we come together, and that's dedication. We submit, we surrender ourselves before God, give ourselves fully to Him and all that we have to Him. And the joy that God produces, it is an incredible celebration. Psalm 48, 12 to 14. Walk about Zion, go around her. Count her towers, consider well her ramparts. Here's the physical pieces. View her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. And it mixes it again. This physical, here's these things we're walking around, the towers. We could take pride in them, but we recognize it's something God does. It's a way of bringing us together as a people. And I think just like in Nehemiah's time, we need to be careful in what we celebrate and how we celebrate, but we certainly do need to celebrate. See, because celebration really can set priorities for the next generation. If we celebrate people and achievements, the next generation will more highly prioritize people and achievements. But to God be the glory. If we celebrate what He does, the next generation potentially highly prioritizes God and His ongoing work. And it's always, there's a connection there. We need the physical as reminders, right? Set up this pile of stones. Why? Well, as a memorial to how amazing you Israelites are and what the amazing things you've known. So you can tell future generations what God has done, that He led the people out. And so these physical structures, we can celebrate that there's a museum here in town that a group of people got together and they built, that brought people together to worship God. We can celebrate that this building is here. We dedicate these buildings because they're avenues for us to come together and worship God. It's okay to celebrate physical structures, and it's good. There's also community structures that are celebrated here. They celebrate verses 27 to the first couple of verses of chapter 13. They celebrate that the people performed their services of their God. They celebrate in these verses that the people play their different roles. We've already talked about this in previous weeks, how the priests and the Levites please the people because they perform the service of their God according to the commands of David. And they're going, this is what is honoring to God. This is what moves us as a people towards what He has for us. And we celebrate when people play their roles well, especially when we're in relationship with them. You know, we could listen to the music team this morning and we could go out of here and go, we can complain, well, that was too loud and this was this and this was that. But amazing how when we're in relationship with this team, someone here, we know that we celebrate that a person up here is choosing to follow God and use their gifts for His glory. And we celebrate that. And if something's not aligned with our preferences, we don't care very much because we're celebrating that each of these individuals are using their gifts for the glory of God. And they have some community structures put into place. There is leaders. There is people playing different roles. And when each person is free to play their roles and there's a clear lines of communication and authority and responsibility, church structure matters, in other words. And they build that structure here and they celebrate it. They celebrate that we have a life-giving structure where there's clarity of what my role is and this person's role and that person's role. And it's a good thing because it facilitates us meeting together with God and celebrating what He has done. And that's what's going on here in Nehemiah. They had a structure that was life-giving. That's what we want to keep moving towards as a congregation. We have a physical structure and we're thankful for it. It facilitates us meeting together to worship. And we want to continue to work on our community structure to bring clarity so it's freeing about roles and responsibilities that we can further serve our God, know our God. But neither of these have ever supposed to be the end goal. In and of themselves. Physical structures, we could celebrate. Hey, look, we built a church. And then we all can leave here and let this building rot. Or we can gather and do more harm than good, as the passage I read earlier about celebrating communion. We can get together and instead of reflecting God's goodness, we can get together and fight and scrap and do whatever else. Gossip, slander. Or we can come together under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's why they're celebrating here in Nehemiah. Because both the physical structures and the community structures facilitated a coming together under the lordship of Jesus. Well, didn't call Him Jesus back in the Old Testament, but we now know His name. And it is celebrating. And we can really let loose in our celebration. You know, sometimes I said it earlier, sometimes we celebrate, I don't even know what we're celebrating. We used to get together with another family at New Year's, and the mom, my friend's mom, she's just all, I don't know, she's a powerful woman and would, everybody needs to sing, and how come we're not singing loud enough? And I'm thinking, like, I don't even know Auld Lang Syne and what's that song even about? And I had no idea what's going on, and I was too shy to open my mouth if I was going to sing or say anything, so I didn't for all sorts of reasons. And I'm thinking, like, New Year's, like, you know, yeah, tomorrow be pretty much the same as today. What are we really celebrating anyways? Yeah, it's a new year on the calendar, but I mean, just it just seemed too much to me. And I remember, I want to tie this with another story. Years ago, Beverly and I were junior high youth leaders, and we took a group of junior highs up to see a David Meese concert. That'll show you my age. Way back. Yeah, right on. One of the original Christian music guys. And yeah, it's not his whole band. It's just him on the piano. I don't know how accomplished he is, but like he's over the top accomplished on piano and whatever else. And he does some songs. He says, you know, the world, we sing about all sorts of things in our world. And the one song, see if I can find it here. Just sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. And he says, you know, we make up songs about almost nothing. We're sitting there wasting our time and we're singing about it. He says, but believers like no other people have something real to celebrate and sing about. And he led us in some times of singing, I thought it was just really powerful connection there. Where it's not just making up a celebration for the sake of celebration. And it's not celebrating, I don't want to overstate this, but it's not just celebrating a person or an achievement of a person. I mean, those are to be celebrated, but in context and in measure. But boy, do we have something to celebrate what Jesus has done for us. And we can lose sight of the fact that we can be forgiven. I mean, we partially take hold of that, but really a part of us is still believing that I'm not the old guy. I'm still so sinful. I still struggle with anger and with this and with that and lying or whatever it is. And we're so caught up over here. Celebration can really help us move in the direction where God is leading us and to align with what He says about us. But if we're going to do it so timidly all the time, He's not moving us in that direction anymore. And in Nehemiah's day, they come together and they walk around that wall, and it's so loud, like I said, people around them are hearing them. They're celebrating the physical structures. They're celebrating the community having come together. And they're celebrating the connection they have with God. And it's a powerful time together. What are we celebrating today? What do we really cheer about? I mean, I'm as crazy a fan as anything. I celebrate when one of my team members, like I say, does a good pass. Yeah, way to go. I yell it out in the field there. I don't know how not to do that. Kind of weird. But I celebrate with that person and the thing they've done. But how much more do I celebrate what God has done in a person's life? You know, what do we do when we hear that someone has gone from darkness to life and they've surrendered their life to Jesus and they've been forgiven and they will never die? And we go, yeah, that's amazing. And then we go on with life and we forget about it? Like, we've got to find some ways to celebrate us coming together as a people and what God is doing among us. And these verses in Nehemiah are about that celebration. And what are we celebrating? I mean, we can take this church building for granted. Or we can continue to celebrate. We have a place to meet together. And, Lord, would you keep us on track about how we meet together? That it's a godly celebration, not one that brings attention to ourselves, but brings attention to Him. And that's what's going on here. I'll ask the team to come forward as I pray, and we will celebrate what God has done and continues to do. Heavenly Father, they celebrated with no holds barred. They celebrated an exuberant celebration here. And we want to be wise in the way we celebrate, but we certainly want to celebrate. We want to celebrate in small ways on the journey, victories that you bring. We want to celebrate when a family that has unhealthy communication, when there's just glimpses, even one example of healthy communication, of life-giving communication, we want to celebrate that. We want to celebrate that you've made that possible, that you're doing a work in that family. We want to celebrate individual decisions when people surrender to you, offer their time and talents as an act of worship to you. There's lots of ways we can invest our time and our abilities. But we want to celebrate when it draws us together as a community. Whether someone is cleaning the church or building and changing, doing an addition, painting. We want to celebrate that it brings us together, a physical structure. And we want to celebrate every time we have greater clarity in the way we structure ourselves, that it brings that freedom to follow you where you're leading us. And we want to celebrate these things. We want to celebrate who you are above all of that. We want to celebrate who you have made us to be and are making us to be. Bring to mind things to celebrate. Next year, we're going to celebrate 89 years. No, we celebrated 89 years already. Next year, 90 years, you've been working through this body of believers. We want to celebrate that in a way that both draws us together, where we unite. And we celebrate your goodness, your faithfulness, and it is a testimony to a watching community. Give us these other ways as a church body, as families, as individuals, to celebrate in a way that brings you glory and praise. We ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen.